On that note, we actually have an interview with Rita Smith, who is the executive director of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. That seems like a really cool interview that you got to do. So let's listen to that.
We have a very special guest here on the Quantum Leap podcast, Rita Smith from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. She is the executive director, and we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
The episode of Quantum Leap we are talking about has to do with domestic violence, and the main character, played by Scott Bakula, Sam, has to prevent his sister from marrying an abusive man. And I wanted to find out more about domestic violence and what people can do to prevent it. Can you tell me a little bit about the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence?
Sure. We were formed in 1978, so we've been around 35 years. And basically, we are the national organization that supports all the local crisis shelters throughout the country. So there's over 2,000 crisis programs in the entire country, and we support their work. We do national policy work. Federal legislation. We support that kind of advocacy. We do technical assistance and training, and we have a website that has a great deal of information on it for victims and friends and family, co-workers, to understand the issue more.
What can someone do if they are a victim of domestic violence?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to start to gather information about what your options are, to develop a safety plan that can help you get away when it's okay to do that. If you're in immediate danger, certainly calling the National Domestic Violence Hotline and finding a way to get out quickly. That number is 800-799-7233. But if you're not in immediate crisis, I think looking at our website will give you some idea about what to do and resources that are available to you, and a format to develop a safety plan so that as you are ready to leave, you have everything you need to do that safely.
What would the safety plan consist of?
Well, it's basically going through information about what you might want to take with you, like important papers, insurance forms, birth certificates for your children if you have them, ideas about who you can go to, information, a place for information about where your local resource is so you can call if there's a local domestic violence program nearby, so you have someplace safe to go if you don't have friends or family you can stay with. So it's just a whole list of things that people can look at to start to think about what you need to do if you're going to leave.
When I talked to my friends and family about this interview that we're going to have, this conversation, one of them asked me to talk about and ask you about, what about people who think they're trapped in an abusive relationship, maybe because they have children with the abuser and, you know, they think that they can't do anything to get out?
Well, it makes it more difficult, certainly, if there are children in common with the abuser. But there are a lot of strategies that can be looked at. You know, advocates who work with domestic violence victims all the time think about this a lot, and they can work through that with someone. So the first option is to call the national hotline or the local domestic violence hotline when it's safe to do that, and start to understand what the resources are and what the options are, because there are some, and there are ideas and strategies that you can put into place to make it less problematic to leave if you're in a violent relationship. So I think the first thing I would tell them is just get information. Get information when it's safe to do that, and start to make some decisions for yourself that you think are in your best interest.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Domestic violence as a whole, is the problem getting better or worse, do you think?
Well, it's a little bit hard to say. I think it's getting better in some very important ways. We have laws now that we didn't have 35 years ago that actually help us to hold people accountable who use violence against their families. And, you know, the public interest is much better than it used to be. I still think that it's difficult for people to get away. But I also think that there are more resources for them to do that. The economy is not helping right at the moment. Since 2009, I think what we're going to see with statistics is that since 2009 to now, that we're probably going to see an increase in domestic violence incidences as well as the domestic violence homicides, because people were just, they didn't have options, they didn't have jobs, they couldn't get out of their mortgages. There were just so many obstacles keeping people from leaving that relationship that I think we're going to see an increase due to the economy But overall, I think we've made some good strides, but we're not anywhere near fixing this problem. So we have a lot to do.
It's really good to have an organization that organizes this and helps people out across the country. And thank you for doing that.
Oh, you bet. You bet. I feel blessed to be able to do this kind of work because it really is. You know, I can go home at night saying, you know, that what we do saves lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On a personal level, I have a wife and child, and I would never dream of bringing harm to them in any way. And what causes people to be abusive? Is there like it's a psychological problem or is there many reasons or?
Well, I think it's a variety of reasons, but I think that some of the most important factors are that a significant number of people who are abusive grew up witnessing violence in their own home. So it was something they learned was acceptable behavior. Not all, but certainly a lot of people grow up seeing that as an option. And then I think that it's just it's really not a psychological problem. You know, it's not something, they're not crazy. They're not mentally unfit. They are people who really want to control their environment, and they want to maintain, you know, everyone's behavior the way they want it to be. And so they use power and control, you know, emotional abuse, verbal abuse. It's not all physical by any means, but, you know, threats and coercion to try to keep people in line, so to speak, the way they want them to be. So it's really about power and control, and people who tend to want that in their homes will use whatever means to maintain it.
Yeah, very sad. Yeah, that makes sense. I was lucky enough to grow up in a very loving home with great parents, and violence was never even a thought. So that's probably one of the reasons I don't feel like that. Yeah. Even if people aren't in a situation, like what can people do to help other people?
Well, I think you know, people who might have friends or family they're worried about, there's a lot of information up on our website about ways that you can start to recognize those signs and then, you know, get information about where the resources are in your area and when it's safe to give that information to the person that you're concerned about to do that. You know, just having a conversation with them. And saying, you know, I'm worried about you. You know, I'm not sure you're okay. You deserve to be treated well. You know, giving those kinds of affirmative responses to them and letting them know you care about them and that they don't deserve to be treated the way they're being treated. You know, the best thing is to not to try to pile on to the abuser because it tends to put her in an awkward position. But just to keep reaffirming for her or him, if it's someone that's male that's being abused, to really just keep saying you deserve to be treated better. You know, there are resources for you. You can find a new option. You can find a new way. You don't have to live like this. You know, just saying those kinds of things that will help them. You know, at one point, maybe take the stand and walk away.
Is there any place someone can donate to your organization or any way they can help out? I know I heard about a cell phone program that you guys have.
Yeah, we have an e-waste program. We work with a partner who recycles electronic waste. Some of the phones can be used for emergency use for victims, but we get a lot of donations now. So not all of them are used in that fashion. The ones that don't get used for emergency purposes can be recycled or resold and raise money for us. So any kind of small electronic, cell phone, iPad, MP3, laptop, small electronics can be sent to our partner. And we have on our website both a donate button to give cash and also a way to donate your e-waste. That doesn't cost anything for you. You can download a printed shipping label at no cost to you. You can send them into our partner and that can help raise money for us. So either way is a great option.
And that's totally tax deductible, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, only to say, you know, that our website is www.ncadv.org. And again, the national hotline number, if you know somebody who needs it, is 800-799-7233.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.